Hey, Pharmacy Podcast Nation. PBMs, they once were the obscure middleman reaping billions and billions of dollars off prescription drug transactions. And as they worked behind a veil of secrecy, it's now come a time in our healthcare industry where that shroud of secrecy is disintegrating. That is PBM reform. And with reform and with changes comes innovation and opportunity. With that, I am so excited to welcome Vinay Patel, who is a champion of innovation within our pharmacy industry, who has brought something to the marketplace that's very unique and going to be extremely powerful in the future with the coming of continuing with PBM reform. My name is Todd Urey. I'm the CEO and founder of the Pharmacy Podcast. You are listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Nation.
You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Pharmacy Podcast Nation. I am your host and founder of the Pharmacy Podcast Network, Todd Urey. The Pharmacy Podcast Nation is a collection of news, podcast reviews, and discussions about our complex healthcare system and how pharmacists are more important today than ever before. Since 2009, the Pharmacy Podcast has collected over 750 episodes from more than 30 participating pharmacist podcasters. This publication is dedicated to all pharmacists and pharmacy technicians working every day to deliver the best patient care. Find out more by visiting pharmacypodcast.com. And now, here's your Pharmacy Podcast Nation.
Hey there, Pharmacy Podcast listeners, really appreciate you. We have come so far in 10 years. It blows me away just to think March 2009, I launched the first episode of the Pharmacy Podcast. So excited about what's happening. We are building some interesting influence in the market between podcasters. There's a story to be told about the Pharmacy Podcast Network. And before we get to that, which is kind of like a little history lesson, I want everyone to go take a listen to a very special podcast that we released. My daughter, 9-year-old Rachel Urey, was interviewed by Ken Sternfeld, the concierge pharmacist. And it's a really special interview. If you haven't listened to it, it is episode 813. And you could probably Google concierge pharmacist Rachel, and it'll probably come right up under Google. But if you're at Apple Podcast, just try to find episode 813 of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. And other podcasts that are coming out, we have a marketing, a profitable weight loss program. This is a really interesting interview between Nicole McClure with GRX Marketing. She is our host of the Pharmacy Marketing Simplified podcast. Puts out a really interesting episode with Dr. Kathy, who has a weight loss program for independent pharmacy at drkathyweightloss.com. Super interesting interview about taking a weight loss program and actually becoming profitable from it, supplementing different things that you're doing for your community. So take a listen to that. That's episode 807. Did you know that we have over a million downloads, actually closer to 1.2 million downloads, and it's just been amazing. You can help us. Please start tweeting, start sharing on Instagram. I'm lost on Instagram still a little bit. Share on LinkedIn, for goodness sake. That's where you guys should be spending the majority of your social media time from a professional perspective, is definitely LinkedIn. You know, get involved with the show. Start submitting your ideas, any of your questions for any of our hosts. We're always looking for interaction with you, the listeners. About 75,000 plus listeners right now and growing based on metrics that we've pulled from all of our podcast directories. And find us on Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, and just let us know what you think. Please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating. That really helps. So we have another episode that if you didn't hear, it's Antonio Chacha, and he is a PBM expert that really helped out the state of Ohio Medicaid system. And as a not only a consultant, but really as an insider to understanding the mystical, strange algorithms of what is a PBM today and how they work. Really interesting show. That's episode 810. That's with Scott Chelson. Dr. Scott Chelson is the host of Polititalk RX. Hey, the Connecticut Pharmacist Association was on Susie Solomon's show. The Connecticut Pharmacist Association, really interesting interview. I really like the being able to talk with some of these executive directors. Excited about our relationship with the California Pharmacist Association, led by John Roth, and the Iowa Pharmacist Association, led by the one and only Kate Gaynor, who is now a host on the Pharmacy Podcast Network. And she's heading up Resilience RX. The first episode is coming very soon. And State of the States. And that is our show dedicated to interviewing executives throughout different states, including those in charge of some of the pharmacy associations. I want to hear from all 50 of the states. And I think State of the States is going to be a really interesting podcast coming on the Pharmacy Podcast Network. So we're going to start opening up some of our reviews of podcasts. If you have a podcast that you enjoy, please send us a message. You can always send us an email at publisher@pharmacypodcast.com. That's publisher@pharmacypodcast.com or our @pharmacypodcast in the majority of the social media that's out there. If you haven't listened, there's a student series put out by Matt Paterini, Dr. Paterini. Shout out to you, Matt. You're doing an incredible job with the Non-Traditional Pharmacist Podcast. He interviews John David Shepper about the world of politics, and I have recently become involved in politics. I'm from Fayette County, Pennsylvania, in southwestern Pennsylvania. It's about an hour south of Pittsburgh, downtown Pittsburgh, and I got involved with Fayette County politics. The commissioner's race was very important to me because two of the three commissioners have not supported medication-assisted treatment expansion in the county. They're actually against it, and they have some very negative, uneducated stigmas of why they shouldn't be investing in more medication-assisted treatment in combination with pharmacy services and pharmacy oversight. I think it's the way to go, but that's my very strong opinion, based on my business development and leadership in the space with New Season, which is the company that I represent throughout the country. It's been very exciting seeing us make major impacts to the opioid epidemic. So if you have any suggestions, please reach out to the Pharmacy Podcast Network. You can find us at Pharmacy Podcast just about anywhere. Search us up on Google. Call us 412-585-4001. That's 412-585-4001. Hit extension 1, leave me a voice message, and you could participate in an upcoming episode of the Pharmacy Podcast Nation, which is our really our flagship show. And I'm excited for today's interview with Vinay Patel. Vinay is the founder of SIPN, the Self-Insured Pharmacy Network. This is an amazing organization, and Vinay is an amazing guy. I'm excited for you to hear this upcoming episode. Please share it with another pharmacist. Let's educate more pharmacists about what's happening in the world of PBM reform. And with that, here's the interview with Vinay.
This is Vinay Patel, founder and CEO of Self-Insured Pharmacy Networks. You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast.
Hey, welcome to the Pharmacy Podcast Nation. We are here with Vinay Patel, who's the CEO and founder of SIPN, which is the SI Pharmacy Network. You can find it at sipharmacynetwork.com. It's the Self-Insured Pharmacy Network, a revolutionary pharmacy benefit manager that uses transformative cost-plus model, which in my opinion is really the future of what is PBMs today. Welcome to the Pharmacy Podcast Nation, Vinay. How are you?
I'm doing great, Todd. Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here on the show with you.
So we know many of the PBMs, which I'll we'll talk a little bit more about the specifics later, but there is a tremendous surge from the 50 states in wanting to find out how their Medicaid dollars have been spent for one of the most expensive aspects of healthcare, which is prescription coverage. CVS Caremark, Optum Rx, and Express Scripts, they act as middlemen between health insurers, drug manufacturers, and pharmacies, and their contracts are typically keep pricing or supposedly keep pricing, and that data and that rebate, it's all very secret, it's all very confusing. You need to be almost a lawyer in healthcare law and policy to even understand truly how the PBMs work today. So in the beginning, I want you to give our listeners a little background on yourself and a little bit about Self-Insured Pharmacy Networks.
Sure, Todd. So, I'm a licensed practicing pharmacist for the last dozen or so more years. It's been so long that I don't like to count how long it's been since I've graduated from pharmacy school. And, you know, we have been involved in myself and other the other founders in independent community pharmacy, owning and managing independent pharmacy for the better part of the last 8 years. And we have seen the absolute squeezing that PBMs on reimbursement rates and how patients have to overpay for drugs and how employers or plan sponsors are particularly getting overcharged for medications that are literally pennies pennies per tablet to acquire, and they're paying dollars. And so this is, this is a personal passion and mission for me to help fix one of these the skyrocketing costs of prescription costs and really get to the root and heart of the problem to help fix some of these issues that exist, as you mentioned earlier.
You know, the entrance of the PBM made a lot of sense when it was first, I guess, for a lack of better word, invented. And since those days, which I want to throw a stone and guess it was probably more than 20 years ago, I know a gentleman out of Greensburg, Pennsylvania, that actually helped to start a PBM specifically for a steel company in the Western Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh area, Mr. Dom Meff. And back in the 80s, they were really an organizer of data, information, and processing claims. And that has blown up into something very different today, to the point that no one, except for those in the industry themselves, can really understand how PBMs, rebates, DIR fees, spread pricing, all of this stuff kind of works. Mm-hmm. Tell our listeners, what are you doing right now? What are you doing with SIPN? What is the Self-Insured Pharmacy Network, and why have you launched this company?
So we put together SIPN to solve a couple of different problems. And the first and foremost being that in contracts today that employer groups or in certain cases insurance health insurance companies and the government entities, like you just mentioned earlier with state Medicaid organizations, they contract with these middlemen, these pharmacy benefit managers, to do at the core is of what you just mentioned, right? The core of it is a claims processing unit. But the contracts that they sign for how much these drugs cost when these claims get processed at the pharmacy counter is what, you know, is really what we're trying to solve. These contracts use pricing benchmarks that are completely disconnected and inflated costs for drugs, and then they provide, you know, large discounts in these contracts from this really disconnected inflated price number for these plan sponsors or insurance companies or, you know, Medicaid entities to make it look like they're getting a great deal. But that really, in essence, obfuscates the true cost of drugs. And what we came to the market to do was to, in our cost plus model, was to showcase, just like Medicaid states across the country have done using this type of model, is what the actual cost of drugs are at pharmacies. And that's our cost basis, is these invoice prices for drugs at the pharmacies. And then we just simplify the model so that we're charging the cost of drugs plus a higher margin that's paid to pharmacies. And now we're able to clearly showcase to employers, which is our particular niche, that what you've been paying before with other PBMs isn't really what drugs actually cost. You know, those line items that they see when they're paying their pharmacy bills for their employees isn't really what pharmacy drugs cost. In fact, that number is so disconnected from what the true price of drugs are, that we're able to come in and show them, here's what the true cost of drugs are, and here's exactly how much you're paying pharmacy with a higher dispensing fee. Now you know exactly how much pharmacy is getting paid, how much these drugs cost that their employees are taking, and how much, you know, you're paying us in an administrative fee. To really get down to that core, we can process the claims and we can show you exactly, you know, how much rebate dollars you can get back, where we pass along all the rebate dollars to our employers and show them, you know, for our administrative services, this is our fee, and we don't sort of take any monies from pharmacy or don't overcharge employers and underpay pharmacies, which is really what spread pricing is, to make our revenues.
Without oversimplifying, for every transaction that's to cover a prescription for a patient, for a consumer, if I put a one, and I'm going to once again, just for lack of complexity, let's say that every transaction cost $1, and that was the administrative fee of the actual transaction. And that $1 pays for things like, you know, formulary management and call mm-hmm. center and CEO salaries or whatever. So when we take such a simple model of what that would be, we're mm-hmm. so far from that right now. And there, each of the three major national or maybe even be international PBMs have buckets and buckets and buckets of the way that they actually, what they charge for, how they charge, the relationship with the manufacturer, the relationship with the insurer, the relationship with the employer, the actual covered, the pharmacy, the pharmacist. I mean, it's tremendously difficult right now. So how do you think it's ballooned into what it's become today? And how do we unravel this?
So, you know, I'm no expert on the where or sort of why the industry has gotten to where it has been. I can tell you that in our research, in the background, in the conversations that we've had with firms that do, you know, that have relationships with these big three pharmacy benefit management entities, that it's boiled down to a couple different things and messages and that we've heard. One is, these big three entities are all publicly traded and they have certain revenue targets that they have to meet every quarter and sort of beat these estimates that Wall Street set for them. And so they have to come up with new revenue streams or sort of new ways to make money because you can only get, you know, a certain amount of administrative costs and you can only get on new business every year to a certain extent. And so to help expand their portfolio, they have looked at other revenue sources. They had a revenue source from who their customers are, whether that be government entities or employer groups or other health insurance plans. They've looked to patients, and that's when you saw last year where we had to have legislation to get rid of the gag clauses. That was essentially a revenue stream through the patient or through the employee, where PBMs were making money because they had expressly forbade the pharmacist from letting patients know that there is a cheaper cost to this drug than the copay that they have to pay. And that copay was the difference between what that PBM paid the pharmacy and that higher copay that that patient had to pay was really being clawed back. And so that had to be legislated to eliminate that revenue stream. Now there's revenue streams from pharmacies. DIR fees is an example of revenue stream. There's other contract language now that continues to use pharmacy as a revenue stream, simply underpaying pharmacies for the cost of drugs is, it generates revenue for these PBMs. And these are just, you know, pharma. You know, pharma is a huge revenue stream to PBMs. When PBMs sort of narrowly define what is considered a rebate dollar so that they can pass as much of that rebate dollar as possible to these employer groups, there's about 8 or 9 other revenue streams coming from pharma to get, you know, for clinical management, to get drug products switched to preferred alternatives that are made by certain manufacturers, to increase market share for certain manufacturers for drugs, such as in the early stages of specialty products with these hepatitis treatments as well. And so, you know, these are just a myriad, just a few of the myriad of revenue buckets that PBMs have had to generate to help maintain profits. And that's really, you know, our assessment of how or why we've gotten here, and why we need to, why this kind of model that simplifies the system just wouldn't work under that kind of structure.
So we know that the state of Ohio Medicaid system cracked the armor, the shroud, secrecy, ninja-like armor of the PBMs. And from that, we now see Kentucky, where there's a report that determined that the spread pricing between what the PBMs billed taxpayers for Medicaid drugs and what they paid pharmacies was in the tune of about $123 million. This was in 2018. We know that Louisiana, New York, Arkansas, Oregon, California, they're all racing to understand and to undo the unfair policies, processes, and algorithm. That's a really good word for this. The algorithms, mathematical algorithms that have been put into place to basically fleece Americans and fleece insurance companies with as much money as possible for the purpose of money in and of itself. And here's why I'm angry, because I've been in the industry since 2004. I see how seniors, when I started out in institutional pharmacy, were stretching their dollar just to get basic coverage of different things. We're talking about healthcare. And I'm not saying that there shouldn't be profit in healthcare, but certainly not in the way that the national three big PBM players have done it and what it's transformed into. It's gotten away from us. And when I say us, I mean us as a people, us as a culture, us as a society. So when I read about champions in healthcare and you guys coming up with a model that absolutely makes sense, you're certainly not the first model or PBM or like PBM that's doing this, but you're certainly very innovative in your staging. So tell our listeners, if they are listening, how would they get involved with something in partnership with self-insured pharmacy networks to educate the employer, to educate the community, to educate those in their own areas and territories that this will make sense, and we can actually start getting a surge, pockets of people who understand that there's another way to actually get your drugs paid for than the traditional way?
That's a great question, Todd. And we're definitely excited and looking for pharmacy partnerships that can help us reach out to entities in, you know, in the local communities that you just mentioned. And so what I'd start with is, one, we are independent pharmacy owners, and we sort of understand independent pharmacy owners, and we have explicitly built our business model around driving traffic to independent pharmacies. Our cost plus pharmacy network applies to independent pharmacies. That's where we're growing our cost plus network. We also have access to, you know, the CVS and Walgreens and Walmart network, nationwide networks, at traditional rates. And that's where employees get to choose, do I want to go to an independent pharmacy, utilize those benefits and services and high, world-class customer service, high-quality care that they provide and save some money, Or do I want to pay standard copays and utilize the convenience of maybe a CVS or Walgreens that may exist in their community as well? But back to the core of your question, by partnering with independent pharmacies and their relationships that exist in the community, what we ask is, what we've seen is that as we're going out and taking our message, we've interfaced with pharmacies that continue to see what we've seen in our pharmacies, in our independent pharmacies, and go and approach employers and tell them, look, you know, there is a better way to save money and provide better care to your members. And there are pharmacy owners that are going into employer groups already and talking about this to CEOs and to CFOs and explaining their case. And this is where when there's someone engaged at an employer group, they're ready to say, okay, well, how's this going to work? And that's sort of the next step here. How is it going to work? The pharmacy, the employer responds with, I can't send everyone, I can't force everyone to use one pharmacy. What are you going to do when my members are traveling outside of this area? And what about care after when you're closed and things like that? And what about just all the data that gets exchanged? I have a medical carrier that you need to share data with for deductibles and copays and things like that. And that's where we come in to play, Todd. And so what we ask our pharmacy partners is, when you're having those conversations, think of us as the infrastructure that's built for independent pharmacy to provide PBM-like services or PBM services to these employer groups that's independent pharmacy focused. So now we are partnered and bring independent pharmacy to the table where they can share their story. They can tell how they already take care of members that may already be using their pharmacy and how they all the extra services that they provide to their community and the stories that they can share about how much they take care of their patrons that come to their pharmacies, the patients that come into their pharmacies. And then we're there to answer all the other questions to say, well, here's how the data exchange works. Here's how the claims processing works. Here's how much you're going to pay pharmacy, and you already have this trusted relationship, and that's who we partner with in the community. And so we really think about this as a partnership, and the way that this gets started is just by sending a referral. We know that pharmacies don't have time to spend, at meetings, at multiple meetings that sometimes to get these employer groups engaged. And so depending on their level of interest, they can shoot over a relationship name and sort of, say, we would like to be involved in the process or we don't want to be involved in the process. And we can share information about how we operate and what we do for independent pharmacy and work together. And so as much or as little as independent pharmacies need our support and help in integrating and sort of engaging and closing these contracts with these employer groups, that's as much as we can be involved, all the way from everything to, hey, I have someone ready to sign up now, and we can sort of be there at the table and show everything up.
I feel desperate for this to take hold and change the way that prescription drugs are paid for. Mm-hmm. And the help that we can deliver to communities based on education through independent pharmacy is also important. One of the reasons that I believe in that are some of our independent community pharmacies are the only healthcare provider for miles.
That's right.
Within specific communities. And those pharmacies are suffering at the hands of the PBM algorithms and mm-hmm. metrics and policy and the way that they build the rebate programs and DIR fees. And ultimately, it's not good for the communities that these healthcare providers serve. It's not good for anyone. It's not good for us as even taxpayers to allow right. this to continue to go on and move as the status quo. So I'm excited that you're in motion to change the game of how the existing PBMs work and coming up with a much smarter model to not only serve our independent community pharmacies, but build a even playing field so that an employer could look at a proposal from mm-hmm. from one PBM to the next PBM and basically understand the proposal without having to hire, someone like a healthcare policy lawyer that understood PBM specifically. I mean, that right. in itself should be very stressful. But what I also like that you're doing which is very transparent to me, Vinay, is you have a submit referral process right on the SIPN website that I want. I'm going to push this all through Twitter and our networks and our social media. But just for the listener,
right?
SIPharmacynetwork.com, there is a button that says submit referral. So if you're a pharmacy owner and you know of a lumber company, you know of a small school district, you know of an employer in your area, a car dealership, whatever it may be,
right.
If you get an opportunity as the pharmacy in that community to talk with the owner of that organization or the human resource person
right.
or people and say, listen, I'm going to get you some information on a very simplified PBM model that could save your organization thousands of dollars and get people better coverage through what is known as a PBM. You can go and submit this information through this referral process. Talk to our listeners about why you guys set up this page to make things as simple as it seems.
For exactly the reasons that you mentioned, Todd, was we know pharmacy owners are extremely busy people. They have two full-time jobs running a pharmacy. They got to take care of their patients and they got to make sure that their pharmacies are surviving, which is increasingly harder and harder to do every day. And every year that goes by, it seems like, you know, the PBMs are just ratcheting up the amount of money paid, you know, ratcheting up the amount of money collected from pharmacies. And so based on what we knew as independent pharmacy owners, we wanted to make it as easy and simple to say, look, I'm interested, but I don't have time to go engage these employers, but I have a relationship with them. I'm going to hand it off to a company, to a PBM that I know and trust, that, you know, that will be advocating for and sharing the story of independent pharmacy. And I don't need to, you know, I know that when I get a member walking into my door with SIPN, with an SIPN plan, I know exactly how much I'm going to make. I know there's not going to be any games involved, with that PBM, and that it's going to be straightforward. One of the messages that has resonated very well with employers is we'll go out to employer groups and we'll ask them, what percent of pharmacy stores in the country do you think are owned by independent community pharmacies? And by and far, the number that we've heard is single digits. So 10% being the highest, 10% or less is what the people that are out there think that independent pharmacies represent. And that's because the message that's been carried by, these advising firms, these consulting firms is you need to be, you need to have CVS and Walgreens in your network. And when they drive to and from work, they see CVS and Walgreens on every corner, it seems like, driving to and from work. And so we're there saying, did you know that a third of all pharmacies in the country are independent community-owned pharmacies? Did you know you have one or two or three just around the corner from you in a 5-mile radius and a 10-mile radius? And here's the services that they provide to you. Did you know about special packaging or no additional cost home delivery services and so on and so forth? And now we're starting, that message has resonated very well with especially these small firms that want to do business with small businesses in their community and not necessarily just, corporate. And they feel like they have no other choice. One, just with healthcare, they feel like, whenever we mention PBMs that there's just, you guys are just another one of those guys. And then we start telling our story and they realize there's an alternative out there. And they realize that there's a lot of, we realize that there's a lot of distrust just because of the industry and the way that things have gone and that they've been faced with increasing costs as an employer every year. And hopefully we're a breath of fresh air and we can start connecting with these employers that have relationships with these pharmacies.
So something I'm excited about to let our listeners know is education really is the start of it all. And we're going to ask Vinay and his team to come back periodically to the Pharmacy Podcast Network to discuss more complex issues. And we're going to dig deeper into the PBM models and bringing up some examples as well as some of your other executives on your team. I'd like to encourage any of the pharmacy owners listening that would like to participate in conversations surrounding PBM reform to reach out to the Pharmacy Podcast and let us know what you'd like to ask professionals like Vinay, who are really in the thick of it and are doing this day in and day out in order to create a better model for healthcare, for our healthcare system, for our pharmacists, pharmacies, and ultimately our patients. Vinay, this is exciting. I'm glad that we've run into each other. I think this is a good way, as people are driving to work, commuting, exercising, that they can listen to something and learn and then take action. The action I will ask our listeners is to learn more about SIPN. Go to sipharmacynetwork.com. There will be some show notes that will also have those links. Mm-hmm. I think together, Vinay, we can actually make small but meaningful changes that will continue to crack the armor of the status quo model of the national PBMs so that we can stand on even playing field as pharmacy professionals, serve our patients better, but then also save healthcare systems, including insurance entities like Medicaid, save those dollars so that we can get more out of it.
Absolutely, Todd. I am with you 100%, and I am confident that the power of independent pharmacies, you know, as a unit, as together, can help to solve this critical problem that we're facing in this country, not only for government entities and for employer groups, but most importantly, for our patients. They are the ones who are suffering the most. And we have to, you know, we have a mission to serve our patients and help them as best as we can as independent pharmacy owners and pharmacy as a group, you know, as a whole. And so I'm with you. I agree. I think we can create this level playing field together.
If you're listening to the show and you'd like to reach out to Vinay, please reach out to him. Vinay.patel, that's Vinay, Vinay.patel, Patel, at sipharmacynetwork.com. Vinay, it's been great talking to you. The education you're going to bring to the Pharmacy Podcast Nation is huge. It's going to be a great value to us. So we are excited to hear more.
I look forward to it. It's going to be awesome.
Thank you. You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network with special guest Vinay Patel. And he is the founder of Self-Insured Pharmacy Networks, LLC, which you can find at sipharmacynetwork.com. And we thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Pharmacy Podcast Nation. We need your help. Apple Podcasts. And leave us a review. Send us a message. publisher@pharmacypodcast.com. Share the episodes on your social networks and let us know what content, discussions, and ideas, topics you'd like to hear more about. Thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.